say to me that gratitude is going to open the door to your next season of breakthrough. That if you can find a thank you, it'll unlock a new season. So somebody right now that don't mind praising the Lord for where he's taken you from, what he's taken you through, and what he's taken you into, gratitude will unlock the next season. Come on, I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm talking to somebody who needs a new season in 2025 if Jesus tarries. And you're not going to open the door to that new season with complaint or fear or ingratitude, but if you will open up your mouth and say, thank you, Jesus. The Lord said, I will unlock the mysteries of a new season. Somebody open up your mouth and give God praise for a new season. I said, give God praise for a new season. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Can I get a witness here? I want to see. Somebody raise your hands and say, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see in this next season, Lord. I want to see. Somebody say, open the eyes. Open the eyes. Hey, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Somebody say,
I want to see.
Are you ready? Silence the noise. Silence the noise in my mind, Lord. Come on, somebody. Silence the noise in my mind. I want to see you. If you want everything that's not him out of your head this morning, somebody say, silence the noise. Silence the noise in my mind, Lord. Hallelujah. Silence the noise. Verse 11, now it happened. as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee and Ormond Beach. Come on, somebody. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. He didn't even heal them right then and there. It was just like, as they went, they broke through. As they went, they were healed. As they went, they were delivered. Anybody believe God can give you a miracle as you go? Come on, somebody. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise and go your way, for your faith has made you whole." Not just healed, but whole. Anybody interested in being made whole? 9 turkeys didn't come back, but one came back. One had to tell him thank you. You might be sitting around 9 turkeys, come on, but I feel like I'm the one. I'm the one that's got to tell him thank you. I'm the one that's got to praise him. If nobody else on my road can praise him, I can. If nobody else in my neighborhood can thank him, I can. I'm the one. Tell somebody I'm the one. Yeah. If I get a little bit loud today, it's because I'm the one. If I step on your purse, excuse me, I'm the one. If I holler too much today for you, I'm sorry, but I'm the one. If I dance right in the middle of the service, excuse me, I'm the one. If I get up and run around the building, I'm not taking a lap and I'm not exercising, I'm just thinking about the goodness of Jesus and everything he's done for me, I'm the one. If I break down and cry in the middle of the service, just bear with me because I'm the one. You don't know what it healed me from. You don't know what it brought me out of. You don't know how far I've come. You don't know how good I've been. You see the me now. You don't know the me that was. So I'm the one. If my praise bothers you, you're going to have to build a bridge this morning and get over it, because this is Thanksgiving weekend and I'm not going to not thank the Lord for the one that brought me out. I'm thankful. Somebody needs to just get up and walk around your house right now and say, "Thank you, Lord." Hallelujah. See, Thanksgiving has an attitude, doesn't it? Hallelujah. Thankful people aren't quiet about it. So if you're the one, just open up your mouth and give him praise like you are the one. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the anointing. Hallelujah. Slip up your hands. Father, I'm the one. I'm really the one. I look back at my life and I look back at what I came out of and I look back at what I survived and I look at my family, my church, our ministry, this house, all that you've done to me. You've been so good. And I'll praise you if I praise you by myself. But David said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me." I feel like we got some people that will magnify the Lord together. So if he's been good to you and you're the one, open up your mouth and give him praise right now. Come on. Even if you got a shout and it's a solo, come on, give him a shout right now. Hallelujah. Before you sit down, I want you to look around and tell everybody around you in your neighborhood, "I'm the one. I'm the one." Praise the Lord. The Bible said, "Arise and go your way. Your faith has made you whole." There were 10 lepers who were healed, but only one had the sense to come back and say thank you. I can't identify much with the 9, but I can certainly identify with the one. I have so many reasons to thank the Lord today. Does anybody have any reasons to thank the Lord? This last Thursday, you might have ate a lot of food, a lot of turkey, a lot of ham, a lot of pork, a lot of rice, a lot of beans, a lot of dressing, whatever your tradition is. You might have ate sweet potato pie. You might have ate some cheesecake. I don't know what you ate. You might have watched some football, and you might have took a nap. How many of you know there's something about Thanksgiving that causes you to take a nap? I don't know what it is, but you sit down, and something overcomes you. Hallelujah. If you can't sleep at night, just get up and make Thanksgiving dinner. You'll go right to sleep. Come on, somebody. But we've done all that, but have we been thankful? Have we stopped to tell the Lord thank you? And I really felt in my spirit that the Lord said to me that gratitude is going to unlock a new season. So if you're ready for a new season, let me hear from you right now. Anybody? This is one of the most beautiful stories to me in all of the Bible. Jesus has been ministering between the border regions of Samaria and Judea. I've been right there. And he's actually, y'all, don't miss this. He's on his final trip to Jerusalem. He's on his way back, and this is his last trip to Jerusalem. And the crucifixion was looming on the horizon. And as he comes to the outskirts of the village, he finds 10 lepers wasting away on the town garbage dump. They're out there on the town's garbage dump because they were rejected by religious and social society. They weren't allowed to stay in the city because they were unclean, and they could not certainly come to the synagogue or come to the temple. And listen to how the story unfolds. The Bible said that 10 men who were lepers, watch this, this is so important that you don't miss these next four words, who stood afar off. Don't miss that. Jesus is a rabbi. Jesus is a teacher. And they're standing afar off. They've been rejected in the city. They're standing afar off. They've been rejected because of their situation by their family. And they're standing afar off. They've even been rejected by their religion. And they're standing afar off. And Jesus, as I said, he's a rabbi, y'all. He's a teacher. And in the eyes of these lepers, he is a very religious man. And they are so used to being rejected by religion. They are so used to being rejected by the Jewish customs and religion because of their problems that they were not welcome around religion. So they stood afar off. And I'm going to tell you, we have to make sure that we don't let our gatherings become just simply religious gatherings. That we don't become the kind of church where people who are struggling feel like they have to stand afar off. I never want anybody to come into this place and feel like your struggle somehow makes you unworthy to be in the house. How many times has religion caused the unclean to stand afar off? The last thing we want to cultivate at any Calvary campus is a spirit of dead, dry religion. That does not mean that we don't preach the truth. That does not mean that we don't preach the truth and bathe it in love. But I never want there to be an atmosphere on any campus where we reject those who are struggling. So often in spirits and atmospheres of religion, the unclean feel unfit. They feel unaccepted because of their blemishes and their struggles and their sins and their sorrows. Some people won't come to church because they don't feel like they're good enough. They feel like they have to clean up before they can come to the house of the Lord. But let me tell you, there's redemption in this house. There is a cleansing in this room. There is deliverance in this place. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what you've done, and I don't know where you've been, but there is a God that is greater, and his grace is more powerful than any failure that's ever entered into your life, than any struggle that you have, and you are welcome in this place. Jesus said, come to me, all ye who are heavy laden and labor, and I will give you rest. I want you to know, church, if you're here today, if you're in this room and you walked in today and you're burdened and heavy laden, if you're jacked up and messed up, I want you here. I want you here if you're addicted. I want you here if you're an alcoholic. I want you here if you're rich, if you're poor, if you're anything in between. I want you here if you're struggling in your your sexuality. I want you here if you're struggling in your mind. I want you here if heroin's got a hold on you, because I know a Jesus that can reach right down and break your addiction. I know a Jesus that can turn your life around. I'm so glad that we're not building a church where the lost have to stand afar off. Hallelujah. Now the Bible says in verse 13 that they stood afar off, but they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, have mercy on us. I'm not in the clique. I'm not in the club. I'm not a member. Y'all ain't saying nothing. I wish I could find some help. I don't have my Church of God card. I don't have my AG card. I don't have my Kojic card. All I got is a need. All I got is a problem. All I got is a struggle. All I got is an issue. And I'm telling you, maybe you ain't got it all together. If all you got is trouble, you're in the right house on the right Sunday with the right people on the right row, because there is a Jesus in here that will meet you right where you are, change your situation, change your circumstance, turn your whole world around. They didn't feel worthy enough to come up to him, so they called on him. Tell somebody, just call on him. They just called on him. They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, did you get that? They called him Master. I want you to understand something. When they called him Master, precious, it was a very powerful thing. Master in this context means one appointed over, a teacher, one that I can learn and receive from. And one of the reasons so many don't break through in Christ is because they're unwilling to embrace him as the master. When we are the master of our own lives, y'all, without surrendering to him, we get in trouble. Now, let me make something very clear. I would never call you master. I would never call a man master. Can I get one witness? But I would surely call him master. I would surely call him teacher. I would surely call him way maker. I would surely call him deliverer. He is my Lord. He is my God. He is my guide. Hallelujah. And the Bible said they cried out and said, Master. Now don't miss this. They cried out for mercy to the one who had it to give. If you're going to ask somebody for some baby, you better make sure they got it. How many times do you waste your time asking for people to help you who can't even help themselves? But Jesus was the one who had mercy to give. And I want to tell you, they basically said, Lord, have mercy on us in our uncleanness and in our defilement. And that's why I love Jesus so much, y'all. He didn't act like they were a bother. He didn't say, bump you, man. You've been on the town garbage dump. You're smelly. I don't even want to hang out with you. I don't want to touch you. I don't want to be around you. What Jesus did, watch this, don't miss it. He noticed their struggle. And I'm afraid that we live in a church environment in America that so often doesn't notice the struggle of people. They can identify your addiction, but they don't comprehend the struggle that you have with it. They can identify your sexual dysfunction or your depression or your issue, but they don't understand the struggle that you have with it. And I want you to know that we are in a time when the church has to start understanding the struggle, because when we understand the struggle, we won't walk away from it. When we understand the problem, we won't walk away from it. Maybe you're here today and you're struggling. Maybe you're struggling with depression. Maybe you're struggling with fear. Maybe you're struggling with addiction or confusion. Maybe you're struggling with suicide. Maybe you're struggling with doubt. Maybe you're struggling with your own self-worth. But I come to tell you that there is a power in this room. There is a Jesus in this room that can strangle your struggle. He can set the captive free. He can break your addiction. He can heal your sick body. He can save your lost family. He can turn your situation around. The problem is you've been calling on wrong sources. You've been looking for people to help you that can't help you. You've been looking for people to shift you that can't shift you. You've been looking for a natural source for a supernatural need. But I've come to tell you today that if you will get your eyes off of people, and you will get your eyes off of religion, and you will get your eyes off rejection, and you will put your eyes on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and say, Master, I can't fix this, but you can. Master, I can't move this, but you can. I can't shift this, but you can. If there's somebody here today that wants the Master to move in your family and in your life, give him praise right now. He said, have mercy on us. And the Lord noticed their struggle. Never get so saved. That you lose your compassion. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. Never get so churchy that you can't reach out to somebody who's struggling. Never get too good for the lost. Yeah. I've watched people, man, when they didn't have a pot or a window. Y'all know country people. Y'all know what I'm saying. They were kind to everybody and good to everybody, but the moment they got a little sanctification, and the moment they became a member, and the moment they bought into religion, they stopped noticing people struggle, knowing that they were just in that same mess 6 months ago, and Jesus brought them out. Notice their struggle. We can never be happy to build a church, to have a ministry that ignores the struggle. See, Jesus answered and said in John 3:3, assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The word see there means it's a heavenly perception. It means to be aware of. And you got to say, Lord, don't let me just see things with my natural eyes. Don't let me just see things and be turned off by the people who need the answer that I'm carrying inside of me. Lord, I want to notice their struggle. Years ago when I came here to be a pastor, we were pastored across the street in the gym, and we had almost nobody coming to our church then. The Lord spoke to me, and he used Tommy Barnett in a season in my life in the Dream Center, and that changed my perspective. But I felt like the Lord said, if you love the ones nobody wants, I'll give you the ones everybody wants. So 27 years ago, we started busing in the homeless. We started ministering to the least, the last, and the lost. We fed thousands over Thanksgiving. And I'm telling you, it's like the more I pay attention to the struggle, the more God pays attention to me. God hasn't saved you for you just to barely make it to heaven. God hasn't redeemed you for you to come out by yourself. Baby, if you come out, bring somebody with you. If you get... Come on, Moses. You know what Moses' name means? Moses' name means brought out. He's standing there before the burning bush in the Old Testament. He's standing right there. And the Lord begins to speak to him about bringing the children of Israel out. He said, go and get my people and say, let my people go. He said, I want you to bring them out. And his name means, Moses' name means brought out. I'm sure he began to replay the situation of his life. And he remembered how he was brought out away from his mother. How he was placed in the river and brought out of the river. How he was brought out of the river and placed in Potiphar's house. How he was brought out of Potiphar's house. Y'all ain't saying nothing. And brought into the desert. And I'm sure he had a revelation in that moment. Now my name makes sense. I've been brought out because my destiny is to bring somebody else out. Tell your neighbor, say, when you come out, bring somebody with you. If you've come out, baby, you ought to bring somebody with you. If you've come out, you don't need to come out by yourself. Bring your family with you. Let's bring BCU with us. Let's bring Mainland with us. Let's bring Emory Riddle with us. How many of you want to bring them with you? Come on. There's something about your salvation that should tenderize your heart and give you a heavenly perception. If you've got that kind of salvation that makes you cold or indifferent, I don't know if you really got salvation. But when you're really saved, you'll be aware of their struggle. See, he noticed their affliction. What does that mean? That means he identified with their pain. He was able to put himself in that situation, and he identified with their pain. We can't really help somebody if we can't identify with their pain. If we can't say, how would it be if my child was facing that? How would it be if I had that medical report? How would it be if I had that kind of struggle? He empathized with them, and then finally, he had mercy on them. These were the nobodies of Jewish society. They were the rejects, religiously and morally. Jesus had mercy on them because everybody assumed in that religious circle that they had this ailment. They had this problem. They had leprosy because of an issue in their lives. In other words, whatever they had, they deserved it. They were the nobodies and the rejects. But Jesus noticed their struggle, y'all. He noticed their affliction, and he had mercy on them. And I want to tell you, if you're here today, there's mercy in this room if you're struggling. If you're watching this after the fact or watching it live, there's mercy if you're struggling. I want this house to be a Bethesda. Somebody say Bethesda. Bethesda was the place in the Word where the spring-fed pool. I've been there many times with five porches, and the invalids were placed there, and the strugglings were laid there. And at an appointed time, an angel came, and it troubled the water. And the sick and afflicted were put in the pool. And Bethesda means house of mercy. The first one to get in was healed. My hope is that every Calvary campus would become a Bethesda, y'all. My hope is that every gathering would be a house of mercy, that the struggling could come in, the crippled could come in, the wounded could come in, those needing healing could come in. And I'm telling you, I want him to trouble the waters. Come in, Holy Spirit, and trouble the waters. I want to tell you, if he didn't trouble the waters in the house of mercy, we need to shut it down. If he doesn't come in here and trouble the waters, let's don't unlock the doors. If there's no miracle healing, salvation, and peace in the house, don't open the doors. If nobody can get saved, don't open the doors. Keep the lights off. But if there is an atmosphere where Jesus can come, where the Holy Spirit can trouble the water, somebody say trouble the waters. I need healing in my body, trouble the waters. I need direction in my life, trouble the waters. My children need a breakthrough. Somebody give God a praise that he'll trouble the waters. I just heard the Holy Spirit. Can I be obedient? You know I'm going to be whether you want me to or not. But some of you have been experiencing some trouble. Some of you have been going through some trouble. But the Lord says that the devil thinks that trouble is going to be your defeat. But the Lord said it's just him troubling the waters, because you're about to have a breakthrough in your family. You're about to have a breakthrough in your family. I need somebody who ever had a time when it seemed like the waters were troubled, when it seems like some all hell was breaking loose and you wasn't expecting it, but a week later, 10 days later, a month later, you had to say, look what the Lord has done. Thank you for troubling the waters. I didn't get it then, but I get it now.
Good God Almighty. I'm trying not to have you talk to your neighbor so much, but tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor, even if the waters are troubled, don't wait to praise him. Praise him right now. That means he's moving. That means something can happen. That means you're in a candidate for a miracle. That means you're about to step into something. Trouble the waters. Oh, hallelujah. He's troubling the waters in somebody's financial situation. He's troubling the waters in somebody's family. He's troubling the waters in somebody's marriage. And you need to go ahead and praise him and thank him. Hallelujah. 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 This is a Bethesda. Trouble the waters. This is a house of mercy. Trouble the waters till my son gets sanctified. Trouble the waters till my marriage gets put back together. Trouble the waters till my mind gets renewed. Trouble the waters, Lord. Oh, somebody give God a shout like there is purpose in this thing. Hallelujah. I feel like preaching. I said, I feel like preaching. I got a lot of teaching to do, but I feel like preaching. I'm telling you, there's purpose in your pain. There's power in your process. God is going to take you through it, baby. Let him trouble the waters. Hallelujah. It ain't the end. It's the beginning. There's a miracle on the other side of it. Stop right now and give God praise that there's a purpose in this thing. Trouble the waters. Trouble the waters. Trouble the waters. Don't leave me like I am. Trouble the waters. Don't leave me an invalid. Trouble the waters. Don't leave me in my fear. Trouble the waters. What you've got to understand, precious, is that today you don't have to stand afar off. And you know the thing about it, my brothers and my sisters, at the pool of Bethesda, you had to be first. And if you didn't get in at the right time and you wasn't first, then you didn't get a miracle. But you know what? You ain't even got to be first at Calvary. All you got to be is in the room. All you got to be is in the moment. I just need somebody right now who's in the room, and you say, God, trouble the waters and fix it. Good God, I got to get back up there, but I feel like God is saying, I'm fixing this thing. I'm fixing this family. I'm fixing this situation. Oh, go ahead. If you got the praise and trouble, listen, if you want to sow, you sow. If you want to shout, you shout. If you want to give, you give. But somebody ought to respond to this word. Lord Jesus, trouble the waters, trouble the waters, trouble the waters. Yay! Don't I want you to get a seed? I want you to get a seed and I want you to sow it. I dare somebody right now who's thanking God that he can trouble the waters and turn it around. Give God a shout of praise right now. Hallelujah. Some of y'all think this trouble, can I just stay here for about 3 more minutes? Some of y'all think this trouble is to defile you and distract you and destroy you. But God said, I'm using this thing because on the other side of it, I'm going to get glory out of it. Somebody ought to stand up and shout unto God. Hallelujah. Y'all, can I go a little further? I feel like the Lord said there's some people, their complaints have been loud and their worry has been loud, but they need to stop right now and make their praise higher than their complaints. They need to make their thanksgiving louder than their complaints. God said, I'm about to move. One, two, three. Give God a shout. Oh. Holler at everybody in your neighborhood and say, he's troubling the water. Yeah. Don't overreact. He's troubling the water. You thought it was the devil, but it's the Lord. He's troubling the water. You thought it was the agenda of hell, but it's the Lord. He's troubling the water. Somebody give God a shout of praise. Come on, give him praise. Come on, give him praise. Y'all sit down. Let me get back on it. Have mercy. Have mercy. I got issues, Lord. Have mercy. My family's in trouble. Have mercy. I need a financial breakthrough. Have mercy. My marriage is on the rocks. Have mercy. I got a bad medical report. Have mercy. Jesus noticed their struggle. He identified. He had compassion in their affliction. And he had mercy on them. So here's what the Bible said. It said, so when he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. The priest were the health inspectors of the day. It was like Jesus said, go show those religious rascals what a real God can do. Go show the haters, y'all ain't saying nothing. Go show the doubters that even though they thought it was over, that I'm still a miracle working God. Even the people that wrote you off, even the people that wrote your children off, your daughter off, your son off, your marriage off, your new season off, your ministry off, your anointing off, you just go ahead and show yourself being faithful. And I'm gonna tell you, there will come a day when you will sing, look what the Lord has done. Not everybody's for you. Now, I ain't gonna give credence or power to people who are not for me. There's some people, they will not like your stuff when you post it. And if they do like it, they do it out of duty. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Because they don't want you to know how they're really feeling. I'm about to preach. There's some people who don't want to see you break through. They don't want to see your family right. They don't want to see your finances right. But I'm telling you, no weapon that is formed against you shall be able to prosper. And if the Lord is on your side, it does. Go show yourself to those religious windbags. Go show yourself. You don't even have to say nothing. Y'all ain't saying it. You don't even got to open your mouth. Just walk around. And everywhere you go, victory is going to be yours. I feel alive this morning. I said, I feel alive this morning. I feel like I'm helping somebody today. You know what the Bible said? David said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou preparest a table for me right in the presence of my haters. Right in the presence of people who are secretly wishing I would not succeed. Some people are mad because you are succeeding and they ain't with you no more. They were convinced that their departure would result in your detriment and defeat, but look what the Lord has done. Listen to me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The real picture is this. Y'all want me to get back on my nose or you just want me to freestyle? I feel like freestyling. I feel like, God, whatever you want to say, say it big and say it loud and say it strong. Because you don't know, sometimes when I'm preaching, I'm breaking my own self through. Sometimes when I'm preaching, I'm encouraging myself. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, the practice of those days was that when you had a victory, you always had a feast. That once the battle was over, you had a feast. But David said, I got so much confidence in God that I ain't gonna wait till the battle's over. I'm gonna sit down right in the middle of it. Y'all ain't saying nothing. And eat at a table, and my enemies will have to watch me eat. I dare somebody right now who believes that you can have the victory right in the presence of your enemies. 1, 2, 3, give God a praise. Hallelujah. 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 So they're the health inspectors of the day. You're going to have to get used to being judged. You're going to have to get used to being looked at. You don't even have to say nothing. Come on now. You just have to just do what he said. And he'll testify with breakthrough in your life. And the Bible said, and so it was as they went, they were cleansed. That their obedience brought their breakthrough as they went. Some of y'all don't even know, but as you leave this house, God's gonna heal you. As you go, God's gonna break you through. Maybe you won't see it all this morning, but tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, when this is over, victory shall be mine. Somebody give God a praise. Somebody raise up your hands. I declare that as you go, God is healing you. As you go, God is moving behind the scenes. As you go, God is shifting things. As you go, God is moving things. Somebody give God a praise that he'll heal you as you go. Look at your neighbor, and I know some of y'all can't handle this, but tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I've come a long way, but don't judge me yet. This ain't the finished project. God's gonna heal me as I go. He's gonna bless me as I go. He's gonna fill me as I go. Give God a shout. As I go, sometimes it's instantaneous, but sometimes it's a process, and I've learned to endure that process, because when I endure that process, it gets me to the promise. So, as you go show those religious windbags what a real God can do. Now, I'm not saying you should be enemies with anybody, but I am saying the enemy is going to be strategic in just depositing enemies of your purpose. Enemies of your next season. Enemies of the new thing that he wants to do in your life. But I'm so glad that my purpose is greater than my problem. Somebody give God a praise right now. So I was thinking about them 9 turkeys. Tell your neighbor, don't be a turkey. I was thinking about those 9 turkeys that couldn't give the Lord praise. What in the world would stop somebody from coming back to Jesus and saying thank you? I mean, if I was walking and I had leprosy and all of a sudden it was gone, I'd say, I got to make a U-turn. I better go back and thank the man that did this. So... I believe that there were reasons, and I just kind of tried to think of it. Number one, one of the guys might have been too busy. Now that he had been cleansed, he had too much he wanted to do. He was too busy. He just had some stuff that he wanted to get done. The yard was a mess. The car needed washing. Y'all ain't saying nothing. I would come to church, but I got too much to do. I would praise the Lord, but I'm too busy. Let me tell you, baby, if you're too busy to thank God, you're too busy. If you ain't too busy to give him a thank him right now. Come on. Well, number two, one of them said, well, you know what? I need to return to my family. I got family problems. You better be careful that you don't let your family. You know, some of the people that will be the greatest hindrance to you can have your last name. That's all I'm going to say. If you're not careful, they'll look at you and say, why do you go to church so much? Why are you always there on Sunday? You can't come out with us anymore. You can't hang out with us. Why are you always in church? Why you got to go every Sunday? Why you got to go to prayer? Why you got to fast? You do what? You give how much to the Lord? Why you got to be like that? They don't understand that the very foundation of your life has been the goodness of God. I'm going to be thankful whether my family is or not. Number three. There was one of the guys, he was just too consumed with finances. I need to take that overtime. I need to work. I got too much to do. Don't let anything you're in pursuit of become more important than your pursuit of God. And don't let anything get between you and God. The fourth guy, you know, maybe he just didn't need Jesus anymore. I've had my breakthrough. It's all good. But don't ever get so far along that you don't feel like you need the Lord. Never get so successful or broke free that you don't know that if he doesn't sustain you, you won't survive. Number five, this guy was too good to hang around with the Samaritan. I'm not going to stay with him anymore. He's a Samaritan. I'm a Jew. The Samaritans are jacked up. They're not even heirs to the promise. I'm too good for him. I can't go to that church. I would go to Calvary, but there's too many messed up folk that go there.
Preach, Apostle.
I would go to Calvary, but I know, you know, she goes there. Sister Flip Flop goes there, and I remember her in the club. Brother Shabadoo goes there, and I remember him back in the club over there on the beach side. The question is, how you remember him? I would go to Calvary, but there's people there with too many issues. What you got to say about that, Apostle? No problem. Come on. One more won't bother us. If you got issues, come on. One more won't matter. Too many hypocrites in that church. Come on. We don't care. There's hypocrites in here. One more won't hurt us. Come on in. We'll be glad to have you. Y'all ain't saying nothing. I'm telling you, it don't matter how jacked up you are. We all have come out of something. If you come out of anything, give God a praise right now. Number six, this guy was just too tired. I could go Black Friday shopping, but I couldn't come to church. I could scroll on my phone till 3 o'clock in the morning. Y'all ain't saying nothing. But I'm too tired to make it to church. Look straight ahead, act like I ain't talking to you. I'm just too tired. Number seven, this guy felt like he didn't need to go back. He decided the Samaritan could be thankful enough for both of them. Here's the deal. Can't nobody be thankful for you but you. If you're not going to let anybody be thankful for you, but you're going to be thankful on your own, 1, 2, 3, give God a praise right now. Number eight, this guy had a woman he was ready to get back to. Be careful, young person, that you don't let a woman or a man, I'm preaching now, get in the way of you giving God the glory that he deserves. I told y'all a while back, I said, if you got a guy that's trying to date your girl and all he wants is, all he talks about is breasts, legs, and thighs, don't take that guy home. Take him to Kentucky Fried Chicken. Come on, somebody. That ain't your man. Number nine, the ninth guy just plain forgot. There's nothing more dangerous than forgetting where you came from. There's nothing more dangerous than forgetting. We are so often like the nine, but I'm just here to remind you, don't forget how good Jesus has been to you. The Bible said, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. He was not even an heir to the promise. He was not even an heir to redemption at that point. He didn't even operate in the total of the promise. Samaritans were despised by the Jews, yet at that moment he shouted with a loud voice. When God has really been good to you, sometimes you get a little bit loud. He wasn't socially accepted, but that didn't stop him. It was a religious taboo, but that didn't stop him. He had issues, but that didn't stop him. He was unworthy, but that didn't stop him. He had problems, but that didn't stop him. He didn't come from the right place, but that didn't stop him. He wasn't identified as worthy by the Jewish culture and religion, but that didn't stop him. He had issues, but that didn't stop him. He had problems, but that didn't stop him. Don't you let one thing stop you from giving God praise. And the Bible said, bring up the next verse. And the Bible said, and Jesus answering said, where were there not nine, 10 cleansed, but where are the other nine? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. The nine that should have been grateful weren't, but a stranger came back and said, I'm the one. Tell somebody in your neighborhood, I'm the one. If nobody else can cry in his presence, I'm the one. If nobody else can thank him, I'm the one. If nobody else can dance, I'm the one. If nobody else can clap, I'm the one. And here's the best part of this whole message. Next verse. Can you bring it up? And he said to him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee. Say it. Made him what? Whole. The other guys got cleansed. If you understand about leprosy, leprosy costs you something. What happens is, in reality, the thing that makes leprosy so terrible is that you actually lose the feeling, like in your nose or your ears or your hands or your fingers, and you lose your feeling, and you'll hit your nose or you'll hit your ear and you'll lose your feeling, and it'll get infected, and it'll just rot completely off, and you won't even feel the pain. So these people had lost their ears, they lost their nose, you imagine? They lost their fingers. Some of them probably had two or three toes by then that were gone. I've been at a leper colony before when I was a little boy, and it was something to see when it was untreated. Back in the day, there was no treatment for it. And these guys had lost something. And that's what the world does. It costs you something. You lose. Somebody's been in a season where you feel like you lost something. You lost hope. You lost peace. You lost direction. You lost something. But what happened? The other guys got cleansed. In other words, the leprosy was stopped in its tracks. And they no longer had leprosy anymore, and they were cleansed. But there was something about this man. When he came back, he wasn't just cleansed. His fingers grew back. His ear grew back. His nose grew back. His toes, y'all. I've come to tell you that gratitude will unlock something in your life where you just won't be cleansed. You'll get back everything you lost. You'll get back everything that it cost you. The enemy said it's cost you your future. God said, I'll give it back. The enemy said it cost you your marriage. God said, I'll give it back. The enemy said it cost you your faith. God said, I'll give it back. The enemy said it cost you your ministry. God said, I'll give it back. The enemy said it cost you your anointing. The Lord said, I'll touch you, and I won't just cleanse you and forgive you and put it under the blood. I'll restore everything that the devil took from you. So here's what you got to know. I'm the one. If nobody else can worship the Lord, I'm the one. Because all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am in, oh, I wish of the goodness all my life, yeah. All my life you have been faithful. Somebody wave your hands and say, all my life you have been so, so good. Of the goodness of God. I love you, Lord. You have led me through the fire in darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as the goodness. Somebody throw up your hands and say, all my life you have been faithful. Can I get a witness here? All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am made, I love your voice. You have led me through the fire in darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. Say yes, all my life you have been faithful. of supernatural restoration. Raise up your hands. The Lord said, I'm renewing peace, hope, purpose, and joy. The Lord said, I allowed the trouble, the waters to be troubled in your life for your good and for my glory. I would say unto you, the Lord says, that this next season will be a season of supernatural restoration. The Lord said, there are those of you that have been believing for years. Some of you have been believing for decades. But the Lord says, in this next month, get ready to watch me work. If you receive it, give God a praise. If you can receive it for your family member, give God a praise. If you believe in God's going to give you peace in relationships, give Him praise right now. If you believe God's going to move for your children, give Him praise right now. Oh, somebody say, all my life, you have been faithful. Can I get a witness here? A shout. Come on. Come on. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Let us sing. Power and majesty.
Praise to the King.
Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound. Supernaturally in your life. Can somebody just wave and say, I received that, Apostle. I received it. And I just believe all of the things that the enemy wants to use to distract you. Maybe you feel abandoned. Like I said, maybe you've had people depart your life that left. Maybe you dealt with a season where you've been wrestling with a medical issue. And there's so many conversations that the enemy will have. Well, you're not worthy. You can't be. be healed. Nobody cares about you. Nobody loves you. Maybe you're here today and you feel like you're standing afar off because you've got blemishes in your past. But whatever the issue is today, God can touch you. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here and you'd say, Apostle, I'm a sinner. I don't have leprosy, but I've got things in my life. I've got sin right there, and I know I'm a sinner. And I'd like to give my heart to Jesus today. I don't want to stand afar off. I want his mercy in my life. I feel the Holy Spirit here. I don't want to stand afar off. I don't want to be on the outside looking in, feeling like I can't find hope. I came to this service and I'm a sinner. So when you pray for me. If you're a sinner and you're not where you need to be with the Lord, when I count to three, raise your hands. Are you ready? Pray for me, Apostle. One, there's sin in my life and I want to get it right today. Two, I need to put it under the blood today. Three, slip up your hand right now. Hands across this room. Hands across this room. I need to put things under the blood. I don't want to stand afar off. I'm going to lend you 5 more seconds. If you need to raise your hand, raise it right now. 5, 4, 3. Hands are still being lifted. I see it. 2. You don't have to stand afar off anymore. 1, 0. Now, if you raise your hand up, I want you to hold it up right now. Don't be ashamed. This is your moment. If you really meant business, I want you to come forward because I want to pray with you. If you raised your hand, take that next step. Make this public declaration. Lord, I want to make it right. Come on. No more standing afar off. Y'all better give God praise because they're going to come. Here they come. Here they come. Here they come. Oh, I bet if you'll just rejoice for a moment, they'll come. I'm a sinner, Pastor. I got things in my life that I ought to just put it right underneath the blood today. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's it. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Y'all see something happens when you just open the door. Glory to God. Glory to God. Maybe you feel like your addictions had you standing afar off, or your struggle or your pain. You need to come, come. That's it. Come on, buddy. That's it. I'm waiting on you. I was waiting on you, buddy. Come on, if you need to come, come on right now. Yes. Hallelujah. I'm just going to wait a minute because I feel like the Lord's dealing with somebody. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes. Look at this. Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey when your spirit speaks to me with I said, come on, son. I see you, buddy. My answer will be yes, Lord. Yes. See, something happens when you just leave the door open. I'll say yes, Lord. Yes. That's it. Come on, daughters. To your will and to your way. I'll say yes. That's it, daughter. Come on. See. I will trust you. Come on, sir. I'm glad you're coming. Come on. When your spirit speaks to me with my whole heart. That's it, son. Come on. Y'all, there's something breaking. There's something breaking in the room right now. Come on. Bring that baby.
I'll say.
That's it.
Oh.
Look at the Lord.
To your will.
Somebody tell it to me what she said. Elian, you're so pretty. You know what? I sung that one more chorus just for you. You're the last one. I want you to know that God's got such a plan for your life. Some of y'all have been on the outside. You feel like you've been standing afar off. But the Lord's drawing you in today. You feel that? I feel it with my heart. I want to tell you right here. Won't you take my hand? What's your name, daughter? Starlene. I feel like, you know, your life has been kind of here and there and everywhere. I feel like you haven't had a real, like, a target or a goal. You've tried to please so many people. Can I talk to you? I see right into your world right now, darling. And you've tried to be there for people who have not been there for you. And you have put yourself, your whole self, into relationships that produce nothing in your life. And you're here today, and you feel like you're on the outside. But you had to be in this service. Because today you're getting direction. Yeah. Oh, I feel this. You feel the Holy Spirit over you right now. I don't even think you've ever felt like this before, have you? No. That's what the Holy Spirit does, y'all. That's how He moves. I see right into your heartbreak. I see right into your disappointment. I see right into that. I don't feel like I'm good enough. And it's something you've wrestled with since you were a teenager, right? Even before, but the Lord said He's breaking it off of you this morning. Oh, hallelujah. And you're going to be cleansed and healed as you go. Now, you've got to get discipled, okay? You've got to grow in the Lord. I see God using you in ministry if you'll allow Him. I see God using you to bring people out of what you went through. So I bless you today. And I thank you. Hey, look at me right in the eyes. You're beautiful. Look at me again. I believe in you. I believe in your purpose. All right. Okay. All right, let's take our hand and put it on our heart right now. Let's don't be religious, because see what religion does? Religion makes you stand afar off, doesn't it? But how many of you are glad that the Holy Spirit's come in here and He's troubled the waters? Can I get a witness? All right, hand on your heart. You by live stream, pray this prayer after me loud and strong. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, that you see me right where I am. You don't ignore me in my struggle. So today, there are issues in my life. There's sin in my life. And only you can help me. I'm asking for your forgiveness. I'm asking for a new start and a brand new season. I thank you, Lord, that as I go, things are going to work out. That on this journey, I'm going to break through. And what has been consuming my life is stopped today. Say this after me. Say, I declare that in Jesus' name.